I appreciate Brother Ken giving us an invitation. I appreciate him being my friend. Brother Ken and this church has been a special place for me. Liberty will never know the people that you minister to by what God puts on your heart to do. I've come through here many a time and stayed back here in the prophet's quarters and different things that you've been a blessing to us and didn't even know we were in town. And God knows all about that. And God takes record of you and everything that you've done. But I want to say thank you. And thank you, Brother Ken, for asking us to come tonight. You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. I trust you prayed for us and will pray for us as we open the Word of God tonight. Don't take this lightly. And I sure need His help. Need Him to help us tonight. We'll read together in verse 45. The Bible says, "And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he come to them walking upon the sea, and he would have passed by them. They saw him walking upon the sea, and they supposed he had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him, and they were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up with them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for this scripture you've directed our hearts to. I'm going to ask you, God, to help me and to speak through me, to get me out of the way, God, that you just help these folks tonight. Dear Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the words and the wisdom to know what to say and what not to say. And God, we'd say everything you'd have us to say and nothing more, nothing less. Speak to our hearts and challenge us and change us tonight. Help us to be deaf to criticism and to praise. And Lord, everything that's done here tonight, you get all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Appreciate you reverencing the Word of God. Several things in this text that we can draw our attention to. We see here in verse number 45, so we can get the setting and the standings, what we're getting into. Christ has told His disciples in verse 45, and straightway He constrained His disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. So we immediately can dismark whether or not the disciples were where they were supposed to be. Because Christ Himself put them in this place. Christ put them in this place and He sends them to the other side. And the Bible says He departed away from them. And then the Bible says in verse 47 that even was come. I think the preacher made mention several times this morning, nighttime's coming. It's coming in every one of our lives. It comes in different forms. It comes in different fashions, but it comes. Dark times come in the life of a believer. And then the Bible says in verse 48 that He saw them toiling and rowing. I'm glad when we get in the middle of the storm, He still sees us. The Bible says that He sent them out and He went away in the mountain to pray, but He never lost sight of where His children were. I'm glad that God never loses sight of where we are and what we're going through. I mean, I've been times and you've been times in your life where you thought there's nobody in this world that knew your name. And that might have been so. But there's somebody in another world that had their eye on you and knew exactly where you were and knew exactly what you were going through. And He has His eye on His children. Verse number 52, we'll go to it quickly, and this is where we'll draw a title and preach for a few minutes. The Bible says, after Christ got into the ship, verse 52 says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I'm going to preach for a few minutes on a hardened heart. We say a lot of times when we're trying to witness to a sinner, or when we want somebody to get saved and we're praying for them, and we say they just got a hard heart. We're praying that God would melt the stony heart and that they would see the need for salvation. But we're dealing not with lost people here, but we're dealing with disciples. We're dealing with faithful disciples. We're dealing with disciples who are right in the midst of ministry. The Bible says they had just ministered to these people. Christ had just fed these people. They had done the service of passing out the loaves and the fishes. They're in the middle of serving God. It said in verse number 52, their hearts were hardened. I want to give you a few things that may help us. I don't know where you are tonight, but sometimes we get in a place of a hard heart. Here in these texts and other places I'll go in a few moments, I want to first of all look at the situation of a hard heart. If you back up in your Bible, I hope you keep your Bibles open with us tonight. We're going to look at several things, but starting in verse number 17, it begins to talk about Herod and the story of John the Baptist. The Bible talks about Herod there, that Herod had a birthday and the damsel come in and danced for him. And you know the story. If you read your Bible any, you remember the Bible story where that Herod told the damsel anything she wanted, he'd give to her because he was pleased. She said, I won't. Went back to her mother, said, what do I ask? And her mother said, you ask for the head of John the Baptist. The king was sore displeased, but he was going to keep his oath. And so he delivered the head of John the Baptist to this damsel, and she took it to her mother. If you'll look with me in the Bible says in verse number 28, when that took place there in Mark chapter 6, it says, and it brought his head in a charger, that's John the Baptist, gave it to the damsel. Verse 29, when his disciples, that's John's disciples, heard, they come and took his body and they laid in the tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things that both they had done and what they had taught. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, come ye yourselves apart for a desert place and rest a while. And I give you this in country language real quick. Jesus looks on them disciples and they've come and they said, Lord, this is John the Baptist. This was your man. This was the forerunner of Christ. This was the one who came preaching repentance. And this is the one that baptized Jesus. And Lord, his head, he's been beheaded by the king. I mean, your servant has been destroyed. This will not preach real well for a health and wealth crowd. This will not preach real well on TBN, but it's still in your Bible. A man lost his head for preaching, and matter of fact, he was in prison for telling sinners they were living in sin. Amen. And here he loses his head, and Jesus said, I'll tell you what, disciples, why don't you just come apart and rest a little while? Why don't you just remove yourself from this and get you some rest and recovery. Now, it's a good thing they didn't pastor a local Baptist church or they'd have lost their pastorate. Amen. Huh? Because Jesus said, we're going to go away and we're not going to do anything. I'm just going to take you a while and let you rest. Now, I'm just going to run just one little rabbit right quick. You know that a preacher is human and he still needs rest. Huh? I mean, Jesus said, these boys need to rest and they need to come aside. And here they are. The situation is they are in a place to where they need something. They need some separate time. They need some leisure time. But the Bible says in verse 32, they departed into a desert place on a ship privately. Verse 33, the people saw them. Many knew and they ran after them and they came unto Jesus. Verse 34, Jesus saw compassion on them and Jesus started to minister to them. Now, I'm not trying, listen, if I read this right, you can help me after the service, but if I read this right, they don't get this time of rest.
They go to go away, but the crowd follows them. Jesus has compassion on them, and they get right back into ministry, and they never take time to deal with what they've had to deal with as human beings. See, we go through Bible stories and we look at these people as John and Peter, and we look at them and we say, man, those are Bible characters. They're different than me. Hey, they're flesh and bone just like we're flesh and bone. Surely they got to walk with Christ and they got to behold the glory of the Father, the only beholder of the Son, but they're still flesh and bone like we're flesh and bone. They got tired like we get tired. They got aggravated with these crowds like we get aggravated with crowds. They had difficulties in their situations. And I'm telling you, you can be in the midst of serving, you can be in the midst of teaching, you can be in the midst of doing whatever it is you're doing for God, and get to the place the situations overwhelm you and you can find yourself with a hardened heart. Situations brought them to that place. Not only are we examining the situations, I've already started on it, we're also examining the saints that are in this place. You've heard it many times, I've heard it all my life, but I don't think we'll ever hear it enough. Be real careful how you say you'll handle situations in life. Be real careful how you look at people and say, I'll tell you what, I'd never do what he did. I've heard, this is one of my heroes, and I've heard him say many times, you never know how to handle the bear. Everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get in the ring. I can tell you how to handle your problems tonight. Huh? I mean, I can tell you how to do, well, I can tell you, Brother Mike, what you need to do with everything that's bothering you. But man, it's a world of a different story when it comes to my house. Huh? I mean, that's just how we are as people, are we not? I mean, listen, we're not talking, these that have the hardened heart, I've already mentioned this, we're not talking about sinners and we're not talking about lost people. We're talking about folk who are right in the presence of God. They just saw a miracle, but they're doing exactly what we're doing. They can't focus on the miracle because they have their eyes on the situations. Too many times we are looking too much at the storm and we miss all of what God's already done. Did they not sing it this morning? He'll do it again. Did we totally forget about what God's done in the past because we're just like the children of Israel. Walk through the book of Exodus and every time they come to a problem, they totally forgot that God just delivered them from. What did they do when they left Egypt? You look at the Exodus of Egypt was a miraculous adventure in just in itself. But then they come to the Red Sea and they said, that's it, Moses. You bring us out here to die because there are no graves in Egypt. And then God did miraculous. Delivers them across the Red Sea. They get out on the other side after coming out on dry ground. They said, well, what is it, Moses? Now we don't have anything to eat. I mean, now you're going to kill us on this side of the Red Sea. It was problem after problem, and they didn't look back at what God had done. They only looked at the problem that was before us. God, help us as saints to look at not only the situation we're in now, but know the same God that delivered us from the last problem is the same God that's going to help us through the next storm and the next storm. I'm telling you, the storms are not over. It's been said by many, you're either going into a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And if you're coming out of a storm, you can just shout and enjoy and get ready to go back into another. Because I'm telling you, as the preacher said this morning, I don't think it's going to get any better. Not if my Bible's right, and he said it'll wax worse and worse. I don't know why we're so shocked. You can go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and read the local newspaper in verses 1 through 11. I mean, that's exactly where we're living, how that men would be lovers of themselves and how that kids would turn against the authority that the preacher preached this morning. That's exactly where we are. But we as believers are getting up every day shocked at what we're seeing on the news. Don't be shocked. Know that the same God who said it like it is in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to get worse and worse. But child of God, the same God that delivered those Israelites and brought them out of the land of Egypt is the same God that still works for me and you in 2016. He's the same God. The same God that brought those children across the Red Sea on dry ground is the same God that's going to get me and my youngins home down the road tonight back to Tennessee. It's the same God. It's the same grace that saved you. It's the same grace that's going to sustain you. It's the same God. We got several stories that you could go to, but quickly, I'm going to mention two others so I can get to this closing point. But John the Baptist, who we've already mentioned, went through this same thing in Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, in those first 11 verses, John the Baptist is in prison. Do you remember what John said? John sent his disciples to Jesus. John said, you boys go ask Jesus, is he really the one? Or do we look for another? You say what you want to, but I believe John was hard-hearted. He's the same one that had baptized Christ, and when he had brought Christ up, he saw that dove come down in the manner of the Holy Spirit and light on his shoulder, and he heard God's voice out of heaven say, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." You say, how could John ever doubt? Heard the voice of God say it was his Son. But the situations that come into John's life had brought him to the place to where he sent his disciples and said, you ask him, is it really him? I mean, if it's really him, why would I be where I'm at? That's what John's saying. I'm talking about saints. I'm not talking about fly-by-night fellers. I mean, I'm talking about the real deal. You remember over there, in Luke chapter 24, there was two disciples. I've studied around that scene at the crucifixion, Brother Mike. There's just not a lot of disciples. There's not a lot of people mentioned at the foot of the cross. But there's Cleophas' wife mentioned at the foot of the cross. And in Luke chapter 24, it says there's two disciples, and one of those were named Cleophas. And they're leaving Jerusalem. Somebody comes up beside them. Said, why is your countenance so sad? They said, have you not heard? Have you not heard? Oh, we believed in this man, and we put stock in this man, and we had trusted in this man, and the high priest delivered him, and he was crucified. He died. What do you mean, why we say? Are you a stranger? I'm talking about some faithful disciples. And they said, we trusted. That's past tense. Trusted. We trusted in him. But he's gone. He didn't do it like we thought he ought to do it. So we ain't trusting no more. We're just headed back to the house. Hard hearts. There's the situation. There's the saints. Now I gotta get this lasted in. Last of all, there's the Savior. Look at verse number 50. The Bible says they saw him and they were troubled. Immediately he talked with them and he said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Whew. You can get in some dark places in life. There's some people, can I be real honest, there's some people you want to see, and there's some people you don't want to see. Huh? I mean, you know that good brother that has the answer, you know, he's going to come by when your world has just shattered and he's going to come by. Now, you know everything's going to be alright. Well, I may know everything's going to be alright, but it ain't alright right now. You know them kind. But it don't matter who comes by if he'll never come by. Right in the middle of these disciples struggling and toiling, he comes by and he says, it is I. He's the one that can totally change the dark situation. He's the one that can totally change the storm. Matter of fact, verse 51, he went in with them and the winds ceased. When the Savior shows up, he changes everything. The three stories I remembered, I hope this ain't scattered. I hope you can put this together. I'm going to give you this quickly with the Savior. He showed up in Matthew 11, verse 11. When John said, he said, you go ask him, is it him? Or do we look for another? Jesus said, go and show John these things again. Go tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. When Christ shows up, first of all, there'll be confirmation. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse 11. John the Baptist, all those standing around, no doubt begin to think bad of John. Why, he's the one that baptized Jesus, and now he wants to know if he is Jesus. Jesus turned to all of those in Matthew 11 and 11. He said, let me tell you something about John. He said, there's no greater born of a woman than John. Huh? He gave confirmation while everybody else is sitting here turning their nose at John. While everybody else is sitting here saying, bless God, you ought not to never doubt. Well, honey, let me tell you something. Right in the midst of John's doubt and John's disappointment and John's discouragement and John's hardened heart, Jesus turns to that crowd and said, let me just remind you that he was sent to be a forerunner. He was the one I ordained to come before me, and said, there is not a greater than John the Baptist. I'm glad, thank God, in the dark times and in the dark hours, when you do doubt and when you do have discouragement, there is a Savior that'll come up beside you and give you confirmation that you are one of His. Hallelujah for the confirmation of the Savior. He just confirmed it. He confirmed it for John. And he confirmed it for everybody else. It's amazing that we never hear John have to address his enemies. We never hear John have to address his doubters. Jesus turned and took care of it for him. You know, I'm about to learn something right here, preacher. It's about time for me to keep my mouth shut and not defend myself to anybody. Christ will confirm whose he is. He'll take care of his young'uns, and he'll let them know who they belong to. Amen. That might be, it might not help you a lick. That's helping me pretty good right now. Christ turned and said, listen, that's one of mine. Amen. And you just sit back and let them forked tongues spit at you, and let them lie about you, and let them talk about you. And Jesus will handle that. He'll let them know whose youngin' you are. Whoo! Thank you, Lord. The Savior gave confirmation. The Savior in this text gave comfort. He said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. He gave them comfort. He said, boys, now at this time, the Bible doesn't say until verse 51 that the wind ceased. In verse 50, the winds is still rolling. The winds is still crashing against them. They're still toiling in the night. Jesus said, I'm here. But he said, be not afraid. Jesus will comfort you before he calms the storm. Huh? We're all waiting on Jesus to fix the storm while he's trying to comfort us in the storm. All we want, there's not a single one of us in here that wouldn't admit this, all we really want is for him to get us out of the storm. But he's wanting to get in the storm with us. He's not trying to get the boys out of the storm yet. He's getting them comfort in the storm, and then he'll deal with getting them out of the storm. And last of all, there is a cure that comes from the Savior. Gives confirmation. He gives comfort here in this text. But as I mentioned in Luke 24, those disciples they're broken. They're walking down through there. Christ is pulling it out of them. What things are you talking about? They tell him all that's happened in Jerusalem. He turns to him and he said, ought Christ not to have suffered these things and then enter into his glory? Said, boys, don't you see that Christ had to suffer the cross before he could ever get the glory? Those disciples were a lot like me and you. They were more interested in the glory than they were the suffering. He said, Christ had to suffer before he could enter into his glory. That's why they wanted to make him king first time he come into Jerusalem to be crucified. When he come in on that little donkey, they wanted to make him king. They were ready for the glory. Christ said, I ain't been to the cross yet. The cross comes before the glory. And you know that text, how that Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus opened unto them the Scripture. And beginning at Moses and the prophets, walked down through it all the Scripture concerning Himself. Say, preacher, what's the cure? The Word of God. Verse number 32 of Luke chapter 24, those disciples, after Christ had revealed Himself to him, those two disciples broke bread. You remember Christ revealed Himself after He had them. The two disciples asked Christ to come into their home, broke bread, and revealed Himself, and immediately He is gone. They said, Lord, we got to get back to Jerusalem. We got to get back. When God does something for you, you're going to tell somebody about it. They're headed back up the road. And I believe, Brother Ken, I'm not playing on script, but I believe they're going back by spots in the road. Boy, you remember when he talks about it? You remember right here when we passed this old spot in the road, he was preaching on being the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. You remember when we got right here, he was telling us about how he was that manna. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Has He opened unto us the Scriptures? I'm going to tell you something. That is the cure. The Word of God. When everybody else has said everything they could say about the situation, the Word of God is the cure. This Bible has been under attack ever since it was penned. Because it is the most unique book. It is a living book. There's not many Christians that wouldn't agree with this. You can sit down and read the verse of Scripture and it looks like they ain't even translated it in English yet. Huh? 2 or 3 years down the road, you're in a dark spot. You're in a storm. And you turn back to that same verse of Scripture. And God jump right out of those pages and show you exactly what you need for that hour. It's a living book. They don't attack the books that don't help you. Huh? There's a lot of versions and perversions and everything else out there that are filling the shelves and it ain't bothering nobody. They want to attack that one. They want to do away with that one that's changing lives. This is the cure. This is the medicine. Preacher, what am I going to do about my hard heart? Get to the Savior. He can confirm some things in you. He can comfort you. But He can cure you through His Word. As He opens the Scripture, there's no... Listen, I love preaching. I love being around preaching. Preaching will help you. Preaching, God hath chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. And God, according to Titus, revealed things in this book through preaching. But there is also a responsibility of personal study. God's going to show you. If you're a believer, that's what He said. He said He'd send the Holy Ghost that He'd guide us, teach us in all things. It's not about what we don't understand in this book that's bothering us. It's about what you do understand. That's what bothers me. Huh? I need a different book. I don't understand that. I don't not mean to get on all this. I'm just giving it. I'm just simply saying, what I don't understand don't bother me at night when I lay my... It's what I do understand that convicts me and it cuts me just like He said it would. Like a two-edged sword. It cuts to the very marrow of the bone. This thing will get deep into my life. It'll go deeper than somebody meddling because I can put a stop to them. But the Word of God goes right to the place. Because it's the cure. If you don't get in there and cut it out, get in deep, cut to the bone, and get rid of it. It's the only way you'll cure it. I'll tell you, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves right in faithful service in the place of a hard heart.
But I got a cure for you tonight. You can come to the Savior. He can confirm you. He can comfort you. And He'll give you the words that'll cure what you're facing and your difficulty in life. Preacher, I'm done. Would you come around? Amen.